Hey friends, welcome back to the show. This is part two of sleep. We're going to talk about how to get amazing sleep during this episode.
Yeah, specific things that you can start today to start sleeping better and resting well.
Hey, you're going to get great sleep tonight just by listening to this episode. Enjoy the show. So last time we talked about problems with sleep, like what's interfering with sleep. Now let's get into how do you have amazing sleep?
Yes, this is my favorite part because it is the tactical, strategic things that you can do, you can implement today to get better, amazing sleep.
All right. So here's the deal. There's a lot of what we're going to cover that, let's just say, it might seem obvious, but it's really not something we're doing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you can know what to do, but then the doing is the problem a lot of times.
Exactly. That's the disconnect.
Is there a scripture on that? I think there's a scripture on that. I think Paul talks about it. Why do I know what to do, but I don't do what I know to do? Something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So this is just biblical, people. So pay attention here. Okay. So let's go through. Okay. How do I get amazing sleep? Number one, hey, make sure the temperature in your room is conducive to good quality sleep.
Right.
Do you know there's actually research on this? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know what it should be?
I don't.
Between 60 and 72.
Really? 60 and 72?
Isn't that crazy? You can get all the way down to 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that seems cold to me.
Me
but,
too.
Hey, don't argue with the research. Set the right temperature of your room mm-hmm. to 60 to 72. 72 seems really hot to me. But hey, in that wheelhouse.
It's a very narrow window for you.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And how unfortunate for somebody if like one spouse is like 60 and the other one's 72. Mm-hmm. I mean, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But somewhere in the range.
Somewhere in the range. 60 to 72 is amazing sleep. Number two is set the mood. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Set the mood.
So that's lighting. Yeah. Last time we talked about how due to electricity, we're able to stay up later and that stimulates our brains to be awake longer. And really you can help yourself wind down, help yourself have better sleep if you just dim the lights. If you turn off blue lights, you stay away from screens.
And also, is our night lights and in the light in our room that influences mm-hmm. melatonin production. That's why you don't in your children's rooms have a night light. I know mm-hmm. that the dark can be scary for the kids. Figure out a way, though, to get them used to a dark room. Mm-hmm. Because when you have light on, our bodies are not used to that. Just think of when, you know, evolutionary or however you want to say it, our ancestors, when the lights went out, you just had the moon, mm-hmm. right? That was about it. And so that bright light that's connected and plugged in there, that is way brighter than what the moon's light is providing.
Yeah.
So what happens if we have a light on, our melatonin production slows down. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, I take melatonin to sleep. Well, really, you're not asking the right questions of why is my melatonin down in the first place? Why am I deficient? Mm-hmm. Why would one not have enough melatonin in the first place?
Mm-hmm. And when you start taking things, even supplements, things that are natural, mm-hmm. like melatonin, we have to think about what is the long game there? To what end? Are you going to take melatonin for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. Is that a good, sustainable way to get quality sleep?
Well, with any gland, think about this. With any gland, when you get it from the outside in, you're not producing it from the inside out. Mm-hmm. What happens to that gland? It shrinks. Mm-hmm. Think of testosterone and think of what happens on those individual glands. Not mm-hmm. to give you vulgar here. They shrink, mm-hmm. right? They get smaller. Mm-hmm. And so think about whenever you do something from the outside in, those glands that produce it get smaller. Set the mood. Turn off the lights. Turn off the nightlight and get it as dark as possible. Even with mm-hmm. those shades, you can do blacked out shades and that is going to keep the light from the outside coming in.
Mm-hmm. And setting the mood also has to do with setting the tone for your body. A lot of us tend to run at a fast pace in our lives and we go from one thing to another, but you can't just go from doing your day at full speed and then expect yourself to fall asleep immediately. Yeah. So take care of your body. Take a bath, a hot shower, or read before you go to bed.
And read a book.
Read a book, yes.
A book with pages that like make noises when you turn them.
Mm-hmm. Things mm-hmm. that are going to help to quiet your mind. That's going to help you have better sleep.
Right. And we say that, a book, we're teasing, but hey, that does not mean the phone, seriously, because getting that mm-hmm. phone out of your bed, I know we talked about it last time, reemphasizing mm-hmm. this time, big problem, get it out. It is disruptive and problematic. Get great mm-hmm. sleep, get that stuff out. Even your alarm clock, if it's on your phone, transition to one of those cheap alarm clocks that are super annoying. Mm-hmm. Like, just get it out of there or put it somewhere else where you have to actually get up and get out of bed to turn it off anyway. And you might find that you don't go back to bed and hit snooze.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting how that works.
All good things. Also, late night snacking. Mm-hmm. Skip late night snacking. Have a very specific cutoff point where you do not take in any more food. A lot of the times what we reach for in our late night snacking is not the best stuff for us anyways. Mm-hmm. So twofold. One, taking in food after hours is also going to cause hormone disruption because you are taking in calories. You're going to raise hormones like cortisol and all of that to help you digest. And then also you're typically taking in sugary food. I mean, what are the foods that you crave at night?
Carbs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you do crave carbs at night, you might be a carb burner, sugar burner. So you're not burning or utilizing fat as an energy source. What, as North Americans, do we probably need to utilize more of within our bodies is our own fat storage, mm-hmm. right? We're mm-hmm. the most obese nation there is. And so we should figure out ways to access our fat better. And when you late night snack, you're going to not only use that snack right before you go to bed, that carb, but you're not going to access fat when you sleep. And that's really the idea. Mm-hmm. So when you sleep, ideally you are burning fat. And if you just fast after your last meal, so after dinner, you're going to have a better ability and access to that fat storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fasting is the fastest way to access fat.
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you got breakfast, which is break fast. And then you still shouldn't just start with carbs. And guess what? If you do that cycle and you not only don't snack after dinner, and then you also don't have carbs or sugary foods or sugary drinks at breakfast, guess what? You're going to start burning fat and mm-hmm. hallelujah. That's good for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that right there is the key to regulating hormones and also optimizing weight. If you are wanting to lose weight, in addition to sleeping better, mm-hmm. regulate the times that you eat.
Something I didn't talk about in episode one or the first time that we chatted about this, right? Is we talked about coffee, but the problem with coffee also is also that increase of cortisol will actually cause you to gain weight around your midsection, that spare tire, because it causes, think of a marathon runner, right? Versus like a sprinter, like think of their bodies. Just picture this person. So a sprinter, you know, usually like lean. I went to the Olympics and I just couldn't, I came back from the Olympics and my workouts for like 6 weeks were just sprinting. You know, I'm like, I want to look like that guy. That guy was ripped, right? Because their muscles are strong and lean, and heart, you know, these guys have like 0% body fat, looks like, versus a marathoner's body, mm-hmm. you know, kind of broken down, you know, almost like starved almost. Mm-hmm. And if, when they take off their shirt, you know, there's like that spare tire around the midsection, is because when you have high amounts of cortisol, it accumulates around the midsection, fat does. And so it encourages fat. It encourages fat accumulation because your body is like starving. Your body is not doing well. So it wants to retain fat. And I'm not just talking about exercise right now. I'm talking about when you take in caffeine, it encourages that cortisol drip. Well, that cortisol drip is then going to cause you to retain fat. So in this conversation of like, how do I get rid of fat? Well, watch what happens if you limit caffeine afternoon. Hmm. Don't do it afternoon and watch what starts to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to start burning fat better because your cortisol levels are going to be improved.
That's a very simple thing. Very simple thing to implement. We also talked about optimal time to work out.
Mm-hmm. Slay those dragons when?
In the morning.
So corny. Yeah. But getting it out of the way is important. And in that cortisol cycle, just making sure that, hey, I'm not waiting until the evening to get my workouts in. You're going to relax better at night. Mm-hmm. You will. And so actually having that time where you relax, like having a hot bath or shower, what you mentioned, reading that book, having that routine, the routine is important. If you have kids, hey, right after putting the kids to bed, have a routine of what you do afterwards. Make some rules for yourself that you're not looking at your phone, you're not pulling up social media, you're not looking at emails. The last thing you want to do is look at that thing that your boss sent you or that someone sent you that's like, man, now I'm thinking about this and I'm going to take this to bed with me.
Yeah.
Routines, mm-hmm. nighttime routines mm-hmm. are as important or more important than morning routines.
Right.
So
right.
nighttime routines are as important or more important than your morning routines, because what happens at night will dictate what happens in the morning.
A wise mentor of mine once told me that bed is an opportunity. Sleep is an opportunity to give your brain something good to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that before you go to sleep, you fill your head with good things, with gratitude, with positivity. And when you're able to sleep better, then your brain can work on all of those subconscious things that maybe an idea that you've been trying to come up with or mm-hmm. get creative with. Mm-hmm. So the better you protect that time before you go to sleep, the more efficient your rest is going to be too.
And keep a notebook right there beside you. So when you do have that inspired thought or dream or whatever, that mm-hmm. you're not getting up and you're not, whatever, tossing and turning, thinking about that, trying to remember, write that thing down. And mm-hmm. it might not be that good once you wake up in the morning, just so you know. Like in your dreams, it seemed really awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you wake up and you're like, eh, that didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, but write that thing down so you're not thinking about that as you sleep. I don't know if that's just me. For me, like yeah. I'm like thinking this is an amazing idea in my sleep. But then I wake up, I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like that, why do I think that was good?
Yes. But then there's the every once in a while when it is amazing. Yeah. And you're so glad that you captured that.
The inspired dream, the inspired thought, mm-hmm. that God moment. I mean, mm-hmm. hey, listen, write those things down mm-hmm. and get them out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
How about vitamin D and sunshine?
Yes.
Yes.
Vitamin D.
Well, just in general, why do we say vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin? Well, it's because when sunlight hits your skin, you get the vitamin D production within your body, specifically the liver. And vitamin D deficiency has been shown to interrupt sleep. Not only mm-hmm. interrupt sleep, but also immune system, also cancer. There's lots of different things that low vitamin D levels are linked to. That's why it's one of the most popular supplements. Now, the supplement industry has totally taken advantage of that. That's mm-hmm. why you have all these artificial supplements out there. Supplement claims that what's in the bottle is not actually in the supplement. That's why you have to know the brand, you have to know the integrity of the brand, and you have to know what is being done. So you can get on the website and go back and find that about how to look for good quality supplements. But getting sunshine, so natural light exposure, helps reset your biological clock.
It resets your biological clock. It also helps to regulate your natural circadian rhythms. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is that all of us, everyone in America pretty much has a vitamin D deficiency.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that sunlight is resetting that biological clock. It's resetting melatonin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cortisol levels, influencing cortisol levels. Like how good do you feel when you're out in the sun, right? Mm-hmm. That sun hitting your body and hitting your skin. Like there's just something, and people will say this, like I just heal when I'm at the beach or something like mm-hmm. that. Well, you don't have to go to the beach for that, right? You go outside. Go on a walk. Like these are things. Go in nature. And to get to the optimum levels of vitamin D, and there's different references on this, but some say you have to have 90 minutes of exposure every day with 30% of your body exposed. Others say that you have to have way more than that for way more amount of time. But in general, you should be in the sun, in the sunlight for a good amount of time every single day with a good part of your body being exposed to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Is that broad enough to say go out in the sun and let it hit your skin?
Yeah
every day.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can't talk about vitamin D without talking about magnesium, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of this magnesium, calcium, vitamin D, vitamin K all kind of synergistically work together. Guess what happens in nature when you eat green leafy vegetables and good quality God foods that are made by God, that are intended for human consumption? You get all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're eating life-giving foods, magnesium, you're getting vitamin K, you're getting the calcium. But we have this thing called magnesium deficiency in North America because of our soil depletion. And guess what? You can probably guess it. Magnesium plays a huge role in what?
Sleep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you need it for sleep. And, you know, there's lots of different versions of magnesium. Ideally, you get it closest to its natural form. Supplementing with it is a good idea. If you test 100 people, like 99 point something is going to be deficient in magnesium.
Mm.
Soil depletion is such a big thing. We reuse our own soil constantly. And so the foods do not have the mineral content that they once had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so unfortunately, the vast majority of people are deficient in magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
So Supplementing with magnesium is a good idea. Again, it's got to be from a good quality source. You know, the sources that we use, we're intentional with the selection. A lot of the labs that I've visited many labs now and talked to many manufacturers, and I'm just so intentional about which supplements that I recommend and which ones that I use myself and for my family, just mm-hmm. because I know kind of the industry and what they do now and have a better understanding of it. So it's an essential mineral. You need it. Most people are symptoms. Most people are deficient, having symptoms of magnesium deficiency.
Yeah. So. Magnesium plays a significant role in nervous system function too. Is that correct?
Yes. So if you look at not only the Krebs cycle, but if you look at neurologically, the brain actually needs magnesium. Hmm. It's a key component for brain health, relaxation of the nervous system. In fact, people who have restless leg syndrome, mm-hmm. some of these people are magnesium deficient. Hmm. People are having sleep deprivation, sleeping issues, like muscle cramping sometimes is actually a magnesium problem. Not only muscle cramping, but global like tight muscles mm-hmm. oftentimes is a magnesium deficiency. So there's many things that work synergistically, so together with the nervous system, mm-hmm. With magnesium. So really important, missing nutrient. People should take it, the vast majority of them. This is one you don't need to like test for this one. Like you almost assume that it is, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a North American, assume that you're probably deficient in magnesium.
Yeah.
So headaches is another one about magnesium deficiency. Mm. Headaches is a really common sign of magnesium deficiency, especially that like posterior headaches, kind of in the back.
Yeah.
Like that cramping in the neck muscles back here. I'm touching, I know like you listening, you can't see it, but like right here in the back of the neck where the skull meets the, mm-hmm. Where the skull meets the vertebra. And again, all headaches, are they caused by magnesium deficiency? Come on, we're chiropractors. Yeah. Absolutely not, right? So check mm-hmm. the spine. If you don't have your spine checked, like to get your mm-hmm. spine checked, are you kidding me? That's a warning sign of what is called mm-hmm. subluxation, spine shifting out of its normal position, causing stress and pressure on the nerves, muscles imbalance, causing all kinds of reactions there. And also magnesium can play a role.
Yeah. And you say this all the time, that it's not what you take in, it's what you absorb, mm-hmm. right? So even if you are taking great quality supplements, you're taking the greatest quality level of magnesium. If your nervous system is dysfunctional, if you have stress and pressure on your nervous system, then your body is not using that magnesium to its optimal level.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta take care of the gut, gotta take care of the absorption. That's why people who've been exposed to like antibiotics, I feel so bad for them that sometimes mm-hmm. they just don't know where their symptoms are coming from, but it's actually stemming from the gut mm-hmm. and gut issues. So that does bring me to what else influences the gut and also sleep and virtually just about everything. And it's mm-hmm. something that no one wants to talk about. Alcohol.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's that. So here's the classic story. No, doc, I don't drink alcohol. Oh, you don't drink alcohol? No, just a glass of wine a night. Got it.
That's so alcohol.
It's just disruptive. You know, mm-hmm. those sugars that you're getting from that alcohol of whatever kind, you know, this is one of the reasons why people wake up like 1 o'clock in the morning is those sugars. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, boom, it's now they're starting to utilize those sugars and it's going to cortisol levels now start to wake you up and ramp you up to get you out of bed. Mm-hmm. Right. So disruptive of your sleep. You drink too much, destroys your liver. You know, people say, well, red wine is good because of the resveratrol. Come on. If that's going to be the reason, you got to actually look at how you get resveratrol and mm-hmm. look at the different ways. Eat grapes, right? Come on. Yeah. There's other ways to get resveratrol without slamming a bunch of wine every night.
Right.
You drink too much, it's going to destroy your liver and cause brain damage. Don't tell me that that's going to be something you're doing that's intentionally good for your health. Mm-hmm. Now, if you got your advice or whatever, but you know, if you're going to do it, don't drink it close to bed.
Yes. And if you're concerned about heart health, there are a whole bunch of other things that you can do before drinking red wine that would be more beneficial.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. One thing that when we're talking about sleep, you can't ignore, though, is like what you're sleeping on.
Oh, my goodness. I get this question multiple times every week.
Yeah.
What's the best kind of mattress? Dr. Wilson, what kind of mattress should I buy?
Oh, my gosh. And it's so such a personal decision. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've been here. I've been here where I'm, you know, I just tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, here's what you do. Do this one. That backfires because it's such a personal decision. What you lay on, what you're comfortable on, and what you've experienced throughout the course of your life. And if you screw that up, that person was planning on that one purchase lasting like 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and they hate it. And then they hate me. Mm-hmm. And so you know what I don't do anymore? Pick their mattress for them. Mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Very personal decision. You want it to be comfortable and support. You want the layers to work together. There's got to be some strength, but some give. The more important thing is your position mm-hmm. on it. So, Doc, what position should I lay in at night?
Hands down, the best position to sleep in is on your back.
That's right.
And I know a lot of people get angry when they hear that.
That's right. But truth hurts sometimes, mm-hmm. you know. So lay on your back. What do you lay on? Lay on your spinal molding rolls. If you do not have spinal molding rolls or are not familiar with that technology or terminology, rather, make sure you see a Max Living doctor who's certified to look at your spine and know how to correct your spine.
Right.
Because there is, unfortunately, good sleeping positions and bad sleeping positions that either cause good things to happen at night for your spine mm-hmm. and posture and alignment, and detrimental things that you can do at night, like stomach sleeping. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bad move. Don't sleep on your stomach, right? Yeah. Don't sleep on your stomach. We see people all the time who have issues, not only with like ranges of motion, but their spine is literally degenerating on itself. Mm-hmm. And you can't find any like traumas or anything that they've gone through throughout the course of their life, but they've been a stomach sleeper for 10 years, mm-hmm. 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, that position of sleeping on your stomach, you have to breathe. So your head is going to be cranked to one side or the other for 8 hours a night. And then you do that over the course of 10 years. That's going to cause not only tight muscles, stiffness, issues there, but it's going to cause subluxation. Mm-hmm. It's going to cause misalignment in the spine, and that's going to put pressure on the nerves. And the nerves in the neck go to vital organs.
That's right. So when it comes to sleep, make sure, listen, if you don't have any idea what we're talking about with spinal molding rolls, mm-hmm. got to see your chiropractor. Got to see a Max Living doctor going to walk you through this. If you've not had your spine nervous system looked at in general, hello, this is the number one system that controls all health, all healing within your body. It'd be a good idea to have that analyzed and checked. Mm-hmm. And what you sleep on does matter. So I don't want to ignore that. One big point on the mattress, it shouldn't be toxic. Mm. You make sure your mattress is non-toxic. That is a non-negotiable, something that no matter what you choose to lay on at night, make sure that it is not causing you to be toxic. And most people are not aware that their mattress is toxic. Mm-hmm. It's the flame retardants. That's a big one. All traditional mattresses are sprayed with flame retardants. That's been that way since, what, the 70s, 1975? Mm-hmm. I think it was a law in California. So it's flame retardants that then what they've, when we do testing and especially acute toxicity testing, oftentimes you find flame retardants. Mm-hmm. You find this in infant cord blood. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes you also have it on PJs.
Yes. Pajamas. Oh, that bothers me so much that kids' pajamas are sprayed with flame retardants. Like,
and it's disruptive, not only hormonally, but it's a known carcinogen, mm-hmm. known to cause cancer. And so not only that, you get the synthetic latex with some mattresses, you get the boric acid. So it's meant to prevent bacteria and bed bugs, but it's actually poisonous to us. Mm-hmm. And so we're breathing this in every single night. And you might say, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. If you actually do toxicity studies like we do, you would know it's a big deal and understand how disruptive this is. When you start finding these chemicals in your own body, in your own blood, in your own urine, and you know that's in your body, all of a sudden now it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But why do we wait until we do that kind of testing or that level of, most of the time you're testing people because they're symptomatic and they've got problems with their health. Why are we waiting until that to then say, well, now it's a problem?
Right. If you wait until you have a symptom, that means that the problem has been developing for a long time. So don't wait until there are visible symptoms. Do something about it now.
That's right. Talking about beds, just a mindset thing here. One of the ways that research has shown to get better sleep is to actually make your bed. Isn't that crazy? Make your bed.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So they demonstrated a 19% improvement in sleep when you made your bed in the morning. And I don't know why it is. I think. I have assumptions. It just feels better to pull down the sheets and get into a fresh bed, right? Mm. Even if you're just making the bed, you're not changing the sheets. You're just mm-hmm. getting into a new bed. Research shows mm-hmm. making your bed improves your sleep. Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you make your bed?
Moving on.
I just started as preparing for this talk. Just kidding. Yeah. And at the end of the day, when it comes to sleep, it's important to look at the causes, what's interfering, and then not stress about it. Remember, why do zebras not get ulcers? They're not thinking about all this stuff. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about the stresses of tomorrow or what the day is going to bring or the lion that's, they're not thinking about any of those things. Mm-hmm. They're just thinking about being zebras.
Right.
Right. And so we can almost overanalyze this stuff and really think about how this is disruptive of my sleep, and then all of a sudden get angry at our family because they're disrupting our sleep, or getting annoyed at whatever thing happened at our, you know, our boss or whatever happened that day, mm-hmm. or, you know, we still have anxiety about the news, or we're mad at ourselves because we ate too late or we drank again or whatever that thing is. And that right there, anxiety, will then cause sleeping disruption, and we over-engineer this thing. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself is disruptive.
Yeah. Yeah, something that I adopted when I started doing more natural, holistic health practices was anything that I do, I take a step back and I ask myself the question, is this blessing my body? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is going over the news at night on my phone, is that going to bless my body? No. Is eating sugar and carbs at night, is that going to bless my body? Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, then you don't do it. It's as simple as that. And that way you don't have to stress about keeping tabs on the little things, like making sure that your room is the exact perfect temperature and measuring your caffeine consumption and all of that. Yes, those things are important. But like you said, we can't stress about it. Getting back to the natural order of things, our ancestors did not stress about these things.
That's right.
And so we just treat our body according to its design. Is this going to bless my body? Is this according to the natural order?
That's it right there. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when we think of it like that, it makes health simple. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I think that's all of our goal, is to live our life without interference or disruptions, from the problems that we're dealing with, and we're living our best life. And you can only live your best life when you have your what?
When you have your health.
Yes. Boom.